Hey guys, I'm Father Will, and this is this week's homily. You know, over the course of the past 4 weeks of Lent, we've been walking with Jesus and asking the question, where have we been? Or where is Jesus and where are we? So I kind of want to review real quick where have we been. 4 weeks ago when we started Lent, 3 weeks ago when we started Lent, we were in the wilderness at the very bottom of the earth in the desert in a deserted place, and Jesus, his humanity was on full display as he was tempted in the wilderness. And we learned that in that low place, that united with Jesus, we too can conquer temptation. And then 2 weeks ago, we went from that low place to a really high place. We went to the Mount of the Transfiguration, Mount Tabor, where with Jesus, with Peter, James, and John, we saw Jesus transfigured before us in his glory. And we learned that that glory to which we're called comes only through sacrifice, through the uniting of our own sacrifice with the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, renewed each time we go to Mass. It's one of the reasons it's so important to go to Mass. It's that little foretaste of heaven that we have week by week that keeps us in check, so to speak. And then last week we were in a dry, weary land near a well with the Samaritan woman. And Jesus, he met us at that well of the world, and he met us carrying the water jar of our desires. And he promises that the water that he will give us, as opposed to the water that we could receive from that well of worldly pleasures, that it will well in us as a spring unto eternal life. And so we are there with him. Now, today, if you went to Mass or if you aren't able to go to Mass, if you get the chance to go to read the Gospel, you'll hear about this story of a blind man whose eyes were opened by Jesus. And there's not really a geographical setting for this, except in Jerusalem, or at least in the story itself, it doesn't say it. But if you flip back in your Bible, dust off the old Bible, hopefully it's not dusty, but if it is, get it down from the shelf, blow it off, and say, okay, what happened? Where are we? So in chapter 8 of John, we see how Jesus has just had a fight with the Pharisees, basically, a big argument with the Pharisees, and he's coming out of the temple area, and that's the setting of our gospel today. And that makes it's important why these disciples of his, they point out the blind man and they say, Master, why is this man blind? Basically, is it because his parents sinned, he was blind from birth, or is it because he sinned somehow? We might ask, though, first, before we kind of consider that question, why is the blind man sitting right outside the temple? You know, some scriptural exegetes, those are people that study the scriptures a lot, try to understand what's going on. They think that this blind man might have been of the tribe of Levi. Now, why is this? Because he's sitting outside the temple and he can't do anything, and he's sitting there. And if that were the case, you couldn't imagine. The tribe of Levi, the sons of Aaron, were supposed to offer sacrifice to do temple work, and it would have been impossible for him to do that because of his condition as a blind man. And so for his entire life, he would have been outside. He would have felt like he couldn't do that which he was supposed to do, right? And you can imagine that would have left him feeling really forsaken. That would have left him perhaps kind of like, what am I supposed to do? How can I live this life? And just like a lot of lies that could come up from that. Maybe you've had that experience. And I want to invite you to actually place yourself in the shoes of the blind man, so to speak, to imagine what it would have been like in this moment where Jesus came. Just say, if it's helpful, close your eyes. It can be helpful in this kind of thing. Imagine your entire life. You've been told about something that everyone has and that you lack. You might be tempted to believe that you were forsaken and forgotten by God because you were so separated. You know, we use analogies from sight all the time. And, you know, if someone's born blind, they literally don't know what color is. Now think of that. Think of how many times we look up at the sky, man, that's a beautiful blue sky, that's a beautiful sunset, all of these different things. Now, I'm not saying in any way, shape, or form that someone who's blind is a lesser person or something like that, but this is a great disability in the sense that, like, there's a whole spectrum of human experience, a whole part of experience that is missing here. And you might kind of feel like you were forsaken if you were this guy, especially if you couldn't do what you thought you were supposed to do your entire life. Now imagine hearing those words of the disciples asking the question, and then hearing Jesus, this itinerant preacher that you might have heard of before, say, neither he nor his parents sinned, but it's for the glory of God that he's blind. What does that even mean? I mean, on the one hand, there's a little bit of hope there. On the other hand, there's kind of like a what the heck kind of situation. Perhaps you believed your entire life that you were worthless. And then this man then speaks to you, or speaks about you, he speaks words about you that are not altogether hopeless. But then something even more profoundly strange happens. That man, without asking you, comes and you hear him spit on the ground. And then he takes mud from the ground and he smears it all over your eyes, you know, just like all over the face. And then he tells you to go take a bath. I mean, it's almost like, what the heck is going on here, right? Why would this happen? What would be the purpose of this? And, you know, some scriptural scholars looking at some rabbinical interpretations say that Jesus is recreating the man. It harkens back to Genesis 2:7, I think it's 2:7, where it says that God formed man out of the clay of the earth. And one of the kind of the glosses or commentaries on it is that he formed man out of the clay of the earth with his saliva, mixing it there. So what's Jesus doing? Well, Jesus is recreating. He's remaking the man. He's putting back together that which was broken. He's renewing. He's making a new creation. He who is the author of all life is giving this man new form through this action, through this sign of healing. He's accomplishing the healing. And now, friends, this is powerful because it's a sign of what happens to us at baptism. We're made a new creation. That's why the man has to go wash. Now, notice the blind man doesn't realize this exactly. And like the blind man, we might not realize what's going on in the moment of our baptism. We might not understand how it can be that we're being recreated. Notice that for the graces to be effective, the man has to place his faith in Jesus Christ. Now, you might say, well, how is that possible? Yeah, go take a bath. That's not a big deal. Well, the Pool of Siloam, where he tells him to go, is across the city in Jerusalem. It's not right next to him. It's like if we were at St. Mary's here and Jesus said, go walk over to the HEB close to 25th Street, probably. That's pretty crazy if you're a blind man and you've got this stuff all over your face and you barely know this guy. But the man does it. He goes hoping against hope and in faith to the pool. And as the water takes the mud away, suddenly all at once a completely new sensation occurs. He begins to see. Can you imagine the formerly blind man's reaction at that moment? It would be, I think, completely disorienting. A totally new way of looking at, even in my language, right? Looking at the world. A totally new way of being in the world. And one of the things that we forget is that as little children, we learned to kind of filter all of the sense data that we receive all the time. And there's stuff all the time that's going on. In fact, our sight, our eyes are moving around constantly and looking for things, and we don't have to move our heads for that to happen. They just rapidly move around and change focus. And the picture that we see, or the image that we see, is actually kind of a compilation. It's a filtered by our optical centers in our brains, so that we, because we couldn't possibly focus on all this stuff. And so, you know, if someone startles you or something like that, you immediately go to that, but you don't see everything. But for this man, he's never had to develop that. And you can imagine, he's never seen the sun, and he's just like, what is this? And never seen the blue sky, and oh my gosh, and the water, and all of this stuff, and himself even, right? Like, he's never seen the color of his hands or the way his fingers look. You know, his first reaction is to run back to the temple. It's good. He can see because of his encounter with Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus, he gives the blind man sight to be able to see the world in a radically new way. Right? To interact with the world in a radically new way. And he's given us the power of sight, not physically, but by faith, spiritually. We, as Christians, are to see the world differently because of our encounter with Jesus Christ. You know, the things that were around the blind man, they were there before, and they were seeable before the blind man got sight. But he couldn't see them. The same thing's true with the eyes of faith with the world that we inhabit. Do we see with the eyes of faith? Do we walk around with that? We also are to follow the Lord's command. As Christ has healed the blind man, so Christ has healed us or wishes to heal us. He wishes to completely change everything. As Christ opens the eyes of the blind man to be able to understand reality in a way previously unimaginable to him, so he allows us to see reality for what it is, and that changes everything. Pope Benedict XVI put it like this. He said, being a Christian is not the result of an ethical choice or a lofty idea, but the encounter with a person, which gives life a new horizon and a decisive direction. He is the light of the world who gives everything meaning. Why don't we live like that? That's the question that comes to my mind. You know, what happens next in the story? Well, not the stuff of fairy tales where everything is totally okay and they live happily ever after. No, the man's life has been radically changed by Jesus, because he can see. But this change is not accepted by others. The effects of this change aren't accepted. Externally, he's not permitted to remain in the temple. The people around him reject him and cause him more problems. When we follow Jesus, we'll experience a temptation to go back to where we came from. But the reality is, brothers and sisters, we can't go back. The blind man could shut his eyes, but they still have the power of sight. We are healed, but we often don't act like it. Why? Because we still suffer, and sometimes we're tempted to run away from that suffering, for to see reality for what it is. To live with eyes wide open means that we carry the weight of glory. To live with the knowledge of having encountered Christ means that we realize the immensity of the task before us, because we, like the blind man, cannot stay silent or acquiesce to living by the law of the world. Part of the man's healing was to walk through the city with mud on his eyes and then to walk back to the temple through the city, healed, so that all could see him. And immediately the people begin to question him. So also people will inevitably question any Christian with the courage to live according to the new life, new law of Christ, which is that of love. If we are willing to live according to the new law of grace, we will draw many people to encounter him, brothers and sisters. And that is what our mission is. We are sent, like the blind man, the formerly blind man. And amid that opportunity, we'll experience a temptation like that of the formerly blind man. He could close his eyes, so to speak, and pretend he agreed with the Pharisees, and they probably would have let him back in, that if he just said Christ was a sinner and then he could have been accepted and done these things. But to do so would have been to betray the very one who had healed him, and he refuses to do that. So also must we, brothers and sisters. Because of his consistent commitment to the truth, the blind man finds himself back in the same spot outside the temple. The same exterior circumstances as he was before. forsaken and suffering, but everything has changed. He can see. And because he's thrown out of the temple, he gets to meet Jesus. He would not have seen Jesus the way he did had he not been thrown out again. Christ is crucified outside the city, brothers and sisters. He's an outcast. He feels forsaken, though he knows he's not. Are we willing to go with him?